As I mentioned, we'll be in Hebrews chapter 5, so if you would please take your Bibles and turn to that book. We as a congregation have been working our way through the book of Hebrews. So we continue today looking at the call of God. The call of God from Hebrews chapter 5. And we're going to read verses 1 through 11. This is God's holy and inspired word as a gift to you, written to His people, that you may know the will of God, that you may know God Himself through Jesus Christ. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifices for sins. And no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." As he also says in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Called by God as high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God in heaven, we do now come, Lord, to the preaching and reading of your word. Thank you, Lord, for this means of grace that you have given to us, that we might know you, know your works, and know how we are to hear you and to follow you, obey you. We, Lord, are sometimes like what the Scripture says here. We are dull of hearing for many reasons. We are distracted. We are weak. And so, Lord, we are calling upon you even now in this very moment to by your Spirit to work in us, to hold us, Lord, to speak to us that we might follow what your word teaches us, that we might by faith hold on to Jesus. And so we ask, Lord, that you would show us Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Whenever you look at a Bible passage, whatever that little section might be, if the beginning of that passage, and if in the middle of that passage, and if at the end of that passage it has a recurring theme, you have likely found what the point of that passage is. And I hope as we read this passage, verses 1 through 11, that you saw that repeated theme. Verse 1 speaks of high priests being appointed for men and things pertaining to God. Verse 4 speaks of, as a high priest to serve, he must be called by God. And then verse 5 and 6, we see that Christ, the Son of God, was called by God to be a priest forever. And verse 10 simply repeats verse 6. Christ was called by God as a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Well, that's the theme of this passage. The call of God. The Spirit of God has up to this point been making the case for the superiority of Christ over everything that these Hebrew Christians might be feeling called to go back to. Christ is superior over the prophets whom God spoke through, but now he was speaking through Christ his Son. He was superior and is superior over the angels, as we learned in Hebrews chapter 1, as God never called anyone to bow down and worship Christ, or the angels rather, but he did call them to worship Christ. No angel had God ever set at his right hand on his throne, but he did do this for Jesus Christ. Christ is superior to anything that these Hebrew Christians may have had their minds on. And we need to remember that the book of Hebrews, the whole point of the book of Hebrews was to warn these Hebrew Christians to not go back, but to hold on to Jesus Christ forever. And so if we remember that is what it was written for them, we must remember that that is its point for you today. That you would consider Christ greater than anything and anyone. And that because of that, you would hold on to him forever. Well, the last time we were in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16, the Holy Spirit made the case that Christ is a greater high priest. The high priest to the Hebrew Christians was a very important person because he stood between them and God. He was the one who once a year went into the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle and the temple, and he would offer those sacrifices once a year for the atonement of the people, for their sins. But here the Spirit of God is making the case that Jesus is greater than that high priest. In verses 14 to 16, just a matter of context to bring you all there and for those of us who were here back into it, the Spirit is making the case that Jesus is greater than their previous high priest, because while that previous high priest in their Old Testament ways, he could come into the temple, he could come into the tabernacle, and he had to come through that curtain, and he could come into the symbolic presence of God that sat on the mercy seat. But now Jesus, who is a greater high priest, according to verse 14 of chapter 4, has entered into the heavens, through the heavens, into the very actual and real presence of God. He is greater than they were. Secondly, we learned in verse 15 of chapter 4 that Jesus was like them in a sense, like these high priests, in that he was a man and he could sympathize with their weaknesses. For Jesus was also a man like the high priest. He had suffered. He had been tried. He had been tempted in all ways like them. And yet there was a big difference. You remember as we read Leviticus chapter 8, what did that high priest have to do? He had to offer sacrifices not only for the people, but also for himself. Why? Because he, like them, was a sinner. And yet Jesus Christ was without sin. And so, therefore, greater than those Old Testament high priests. And then in verse 16 of chapter 4, we learned that Jesus was a greater high priest in that he doesn't only go into the Holy of Holies. He has brought us with him. In the Old Testament sacrificial system, with the Old Testament high priest, no one except that high priest, and he only once a year, could go into the Holy of Holies. But now, a way has been made through this great high priest, Jesus Christ, that all God's people can come in to the Holy of Holies. All God's people can come in to the very presence of God. And not only can we all do it, we don't have to come in fearing what God might do to us. We are to come in boldly, with confidence, to the throne of grace, that not only will God hear us, he will help us. That's what Jesus, the great high priest, has done for us. And that's why in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, that the Spirit of God says, hold on to your confession of faith in Jesus Christ. Seize it. Hold on to it. Do not ever let it go. Because of his superiority, because of his greater person and his work, we are called to hold fast and not turn back. Now, you likely are not turning back to something in the Old Testament. Maybe you're not turning back to things of the old sacrificial system. But make no mistake, this warning to hold on to Christ and then to not turn back is for you today as well. Because there are all kinds of things calling you to turn away from Jesus. All kinds of things, all kinds of people who would have you to think that what they are offering you is better than Christ. And so the Bible tells us we have a greater high priest in Jesus Christ. We have in Christ the only person who can bring you to God Himself. Well, now here in Hebrews chapter 5, the verses for our subject today, we are going to see again that Jesus is still a greater high priest. And the argument that the Spirit of God makes now is He is greater because His call from God is greater. The call from God upon Jesus is greater than that call to Aaron. And within this calling, there are truths about Christ that surpass the calling of Aaron and his sons, and truths about Christ that call to you as well. In this passage, there is a call upon your life. So we're going to look at three calls here made in this passage. One, we're going to look at the call that is made to Aaron. And we see that in verses 1 to 4. And then we're going to see, by comparison, the call that was made to Christ. We see that in verses 5 to 10. And then we're going to see the call that is upon you in verse 9. So there are three calls here. The point is that they all come from God. And so the Hebrew Christians may have been thinking, well, we see in the Old Testament how God called Aaron. It was laid out there in Leviticus chapter 8, very ornate, very explicit. And God told Moses exactly what to do. And He told Aaron, this is what you're going to do. And so we see that the call of God was upon Aaron. It's clear. This was a legitimate call. And the writer of Hebrews and the Spirit of God is not saying, hey, what you were looking back to there in the Old Testament was wrong. You shouldn't be looking at that. No, he wasn't saying that. In fact, he was making it clear that Aaron, the high priest of God, the first high priest that came into the tabernacle, was duly and rightly called by God. And so he took up his priesthood, he and his sons, because they were called by God. And so the Spirit of God here is setting up an argument. He's not saying this was an illegitimate call. He's not saying that it didn't have its purpose and its place in time in God's will. In fact, he's saying just the opposite. Aaron had a call from God. And there was a day when that was a legitimate call. Verse 1 tells us that those high priests taken from men are appointed for men and things pertaining to God. And this word appointed means simply they were designated by God. They were called by God. Leviticus 8 shows us that this appointment came from God through Moses. And so it was God who called Aaron and his sons to be his priest and his high priest. And in this calling, they were instructed by God on what they were to do for men in things pertaining to God. And that's important. We shouldn't just rush over that idea. They had a job to do. They were to stand between God and man. Their job was to do these things that God had called them for men. It wasn't for their honor. It wasn't for them to be glorified. Their purpose was to go into that Holy of Holies and offer that sacrifice because there was a need. And the need was that sins needed to be atoned for. And this was the way that God was doing it in that purpose and in that time and in that place. And so their job was to stand between God and man with these sacrifices, offering gifts and sacrifices for sins. And when they did this, according to God's instructions, they and the people that they represented would be accepted by God. If you didn't come that way, you weren't accepted. Your sins were not atoned for. Your sins were not dealt with. And not only when they came into the Holy of Holies, that they had to make an offering for the people. But as we see here in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 3, they had to also make an offering for themselves because they too were sinners. They were like these men. And so when people brought their offerings at different times, the high priest was not to look at them as if he was better than them, looking down on them as if here he was this great high priest and they were just simple sinners. What a message God was sending to these men who were high priests. You are a sinner also. Your sins must be atoned for. But because they were like these men, because they were like these people, they are supposed to be able to understand their weaknesses. They were called to be compassionate and sympathetic towards them because they knew they were just like them. And they knew that they needed their sins to be atoned for as well. And so the high priest of the Old Testament was like the people who came to the tabernacle. He was like them in their human condition, in his weaknesses and in his sins. So Aaron and his sons after him would always be called and always required to offer a sacrifice for themselves as well. Always. It was never something that they could say, well, we've done this for the last 10 years and I don't need to do it anymore. I'm covered. No, every time they came into that Holy of Holies, they had to offer that sacrifice of sins for their people, but also for themselves. They could sympathize with these people because they were like them in their human condition and in their sinful condition as well. A part of this comparison that the Spirit of God is making here in the first four verses has already been made, as I mentioned, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, that Jesus Christ was made like us. Jesus Christ was a true man. He was tempted like we are. He suffered like we are. He was tried like we are, yet without sin. That's the difference between Aaron and his sons and the great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ shared in our human condition. He suffered in every way like we do, which enabled him to be a faithful high priest, as the book of Hebrews earlier mentions. But these high priests of the Old Testament, they could not escape their human condition or their moral condition. Well, the Spirit of God closes this first part of his argument in verses 1 through 4 by saying in verse 4 that no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. Nobody got to rise up and say, hey, I'm going to be priest for a day. Nobody got to rise up and say, hey, I want this honor. In fact, there were people in the Old Testament who did that, who acted like they were priests, and they suffered the judgment of God. And so what the Spirit of God is telling us here in verse 4 is that this office can only be rightly fulfilled by those whom God has called. And Aaron and his sons were called. Legitimate call from God. And in the words that are the key to this passage, we see in verse 5, so also Christ. Right here in the middle are the most important words of these 11 verses. So also Christ. So also Christ what? So also Christ received a call from God. And this is what the author of Hebrews is now about to explain to us. That someone greater has come, and he is Christ Jesus, and he comes with a greater calling. So in verses 5 to 10, we see the call of God upon Christ. And while the call of God upon Aaron was a godly call and a legitimate call, it had its weaknesses because they were weak. The call of God upon Christ has no weaknesses because he is not weak. He was tempted, he was tried, and he suffered. And he did all this without sin. Now, there are similarities in the call to Aaron, and there are differences in the call to Aaron compared to that of Jesus Christ. Just as Aaron received his call from God, so also did Christ. Verse 5 tells us that Christ did not appoint himself. He did not raise himself up that he might glorify himself to be high priest. Like Aaron, he was called by God to this ministry. The scripture is full of Jesus' testimony that he was not here to glorify himself. He said in John chapter 8, verse 54, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me." And it was God the Father who appointed and called Jesus Christ to be the high priest, the great high priest, the Savior. Jesus knew what this call was. It was not one of glory first. It was one of humiliation. It was one of suffering. It was one of agony, alienation, and death. Before he would ever see glory as a great high priest, he would have to go through all these things. That was his calling. And this was not a calling in the sense that if you had offered it to men and say, "Hey, who would like to sign up for this calling?" That you would have a long line of people saying, "Yeah, I want that." This was a call from God. This is a call upon Jesus Christ that he humbly and willingly submitted to. It was what God called him to do. And the Spirit of God is declaring to these Hebrew Christians that as legitimate as Aaron's call was to the priesthood, so also is Christ. So don't be looking back to them. Look at this greater call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Aaron's call did come from God through Moses. But look at the difference. Christ's call came from God directly. And that's what we see in Hebrews chapter 5 as it quotes Psalm 2. "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." The Spirit of God is using this to remind us who Jesus is. The call to Christ came directly from his Father. Aaron and his sons were not the Son of God. But Jesus, the great high priest, is the Son of God. And this call came directly from his heavenly Father. Aaron was taken from among men, sinful men, sinful being like them in his sin. And Christ was called upon by God as his holy Son. A man without sin. And being the Son of God, making himself equal with God, he was like God in every way, including being sinless. And he too was taken from among men. This is some of the similarities between him and Aaron. But he was the God-man. God called him his son and called him out to this ministry to suffer, to agonize, to be alienated, to be rejected, to die and stand between God's people and God, that he might be their great high priest. Aaron was called by God from among sinful men. Christ was called by God as a sinless man. That calling that Jesus has is greater. Verse 6 also shows us another comparison that is made between Aaron's calling and Christ's calling. Again, both callings are from God, but there is a quality and a quantity in these callings that is different. Aaron was taken from among men, and as all natural men do, Aaron and his sons, in the course of their life, they would die. Their ministry in the priesthood would come to an end. Also, Aaron was a common man. He held no position prior to God appointing him as a priest. But Christ's call to be a priest is in an altogether different category. He is called in an altogether different category, in a different realm than that of Aaron. In verse 6, quotes from Psalm 110, which we will sing after the sermon, a verse that will be used over and over again in the book of Hebrews to demonstrate who Jesus Christ is. We We see it used in chapter 6 once, and chapter 7 five or six times. That Jesus Christ has been called a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Where does this come from? Where does this idea, even written in the Psalms, as being quoted here, what is the psalmist writing about? Well, we find this occasion in Genesis chapter 14, verse 18. And you may remember the story that when Abraham and his nephew Lot were living together with their families and their animals and all these things, that God had prospered them so much that the land where they were living couldn't hold them both. And so they decided to divide up. And Lot went this way and Abraham went this way. And in the course of time, some other warring factions, some other warring kings had wars against each other. And they came and they took Lot and all his family and all his goods. And when Abraham heard about it, he set out to rescue his neighbor, his nephew and all their family. And he went about and he did that. And when it was over, we read in Genesis 14, 18. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed Abraham and said, "Blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hands." And he gave him a tithe of all. That's who Melchizedek is. That's where we get the reference in Psalm 110. That's why he's being referred to here in Hebrews chapter 5. Now you notice that verse 11 of Hebrews chapter 5 says we have a lot to say about Melchizedek. And the Spirit of God says we're going to do that, but it's going to come later. And so we're going to take that clue and we're going to do that later as well. But the thing that we need to remember about Melchizedek today is what verse 6 tells us. He was a priest forever. And this is both the quality and quantity that is different than that of Aaron. Yes, the work of the priest would go on forever, but Aaron and his sons would not. The Spirit of God tells us in verse 6 that Christ is a priest forever. And that's not just for knowledge. That's not just so you'll know how long Christ will be a priest. That truth has an impact on our lives as God's people. Christ's priestly work continues even today and will continue forever. Yes, his sacrifice has been made, his offering has been made, but his work as a high priest continues on forever. There is no end to his priestly work because we are always in need of that priestly work. Romans 8:34 tells us that it was Christ who died and furthermore is also risen. That's part of his priestly work, that he died and was raised, who is even at the right hand of God, even now at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. That is also part of the high priest's work, to pray for the people that they would be received and accepted by God. And this is what Jesus Christ is doing, and this is his work that will last forever. And while Aaron and his sons were called to a temporary priestly work, both because of their temporary lives, but also because of the temporary sacrifices that they would offer, they would not continue on forever. And this is the quantity that I'm speaking of. Foreverness. Christ's work will never end. There is also implied in this quantity a quality. The work of Christ is forever, which tells us something. That we, united to Christ, are in a forever relationship with God. Forever. Never to be interrupted. Never to be taken away. Never to be diminished. Because of the high priestly work of Jesus Christ, and that it is forever, your relationship with God, for those of you who are in Christ Jesus, is forever. Your sins are forever forgiven. You have peace with God forever. God has been satisfied with Christ's offering and therefore is satisfied with you who are in Christ forever. Paul goes on to say in Romans 8:35, the impact of the priestly work of Christ is this: who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Then in verses 38 and 39, he tells us that nothing in all the world can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. He is our forever high priest, and we are forever the recipients of God's love because of that. We are the recipients of being forgiven forever because of Christ, because he completed his calling. I know that I've heard people say, I believe that God has called me to this thing. And maybe you see them again 6 months or a year later or something like that, and they're not doing that thing, giving evidence that God really didn't call them to that. They may have thought he did. They may have been sincere and intentional about it, but they didn't finish. But Christ finished his calling. He completed his calling. And this verifies that it is, in fact, God who is the one who has called him. And verses 7 to 10 tells us that in the days of his flesh, the days he lived on this earth, as a true man, he offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of godly fear. In verses 7 to 10, we're reminded of what Jesus went through in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he cried out to the Lord, when he called out to God and asked him if there was any other way that this could be accomplished, if this cup that he had to drink could pass from him, because he knew this death was going to be more than physical. Many men, literally, women, other people, have died a worse death physically than Jesus Christ. But no one has died a death like Jesus Christ, who was in perfect harmony, in perfect relationship with his Father, and who would be separated from him for a time. No one has died a death like that because no one has been in a relationship like that with God. And Jesus knew that as the cross approached, as he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, he knew that this is what he was facing. And just as God heard him in the garden, God did hear him. And we know that God heard him because Jesus humbly submitted and said, not my will, but thy will be done. And he went to the cross. So God heard his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. God then heard his prayer on the cross, when Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Which we sang in Psalm 22. That is not a prayer that God did not hear. The scripture tells us here in verse 7 that when he prayed, when he supplicated, when he put up vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, he was heard. And when God hears, he doesn't hear with a deaf ear. He responds and takes action. And oh yes, Jesus did die. He did die. And one might say, well, then God didn't hear. But we would know from the scripture that God did hear him because he saved him from death. He experienced death. He truly did die. But he did not suffer. After death, he did not suffer corruption. His bones were not laid in the grave and then disintegrating. God saved him from the perils of death and raised him up from the dead. And so in verse 7, when we hear these words, he prayed to him who was able to save him from death and was heard, we need to think of the resurrection. When God raised Jesus from the dead, It was his answer to Jesus. It was his answer to his son. I heard you. I heard you. And I am saving you from death. It was the call of God upon Jesus Christ to be our high priest and to die. But when Jesus called to God, after he had suffered according to the will of God, after he died a death of sacrifice for our sins, God heard him and raised him from the dead. Psalm 16, verse 10 through 11 speaks of Christ and his trust in God to save him from death, saying this, "For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures evermore." God heard his cries and raised him from the dead. God heard his cries and exalted him to his right hand, where he is today interceding for you, his people. Christ's priesthood is forever, and it has a forever impact on your life. And even though he was the Son of God, his calling was to die. God never, ever called the high priest to die. He called the high priest to take other victims, other innocents, and sacrifice them. But Jesus' calling was greater because God called him to be not only the one who sacrifices, but also the sacrifice. That's the calling upon Jesus' life. Aaron and his sons never received this calling because it would have done no good. Because they were like the people, they were sinners, but Jesus was not. He was sinless. And he suffered temptation to the max and never gave in, qualifying himself to be that holy and perfect sacrifice. That is your great high priest. That is the calling that he received from God. He is a great high priest and continues to be a great high priest forever and forever. And that is your forever. Everything that Jesus accomplished in his priesthood was forever. And it's your forever. You are forever accepted by God. What a great comfort and assurance that should be to us. Jesus, our great high priest, was called to not be a temporary high priest, to not pass on this priesthood to anyone else. He would be a priest forever. And he accomplished that work on the cross. So verse 9 tells us he has been perfected through the suffering of obedience. He has become the author of eternal salvation. He is the source. That's what that word author means. He is the source of eternal salvation. And that's what Jesus meant when he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus' calling to be our high priest is a calling from God to the Son of God to be a kingly priest like Melchizedek, who is king of Salem. That's the order of the priesthood that Jesus was in. He was not in the order of Aaron, who was just a man and a sinful man. But here was the high priest who is the Son of God, sinless Son of God, and a royal king. That's the order of his priesthood. He sits at the right hand of God right now, interceding on your behalf. Because his priesthood and his calling to be a priest is forever. He makes that claim because it is true. And he wants you to know that he is there now as your mediator between you and God. The declaration of verse 9 is that Jesus is the only source of salvation. That is what God called him to be. And in that call, to be the only source of salvation, to be the author of salvation, in that call is implied a call to you. And we don't see in verse 9, we don't see the words calling or appointed. That calling is implied here. Jesus is the only author, the only source of salvation. But who is he that to? What does the scripture say here in verse 9? To all who obey him. That is the call to you. That is God's call upon your life, that you obey him. And what then is he calling you to do here? He is not calling you to do better. He's not calling you to get better. He's calling you to realize that you cannot get better and therefore cannot do better in order to be received by him. It is not in you to get better. But he is calling you to obey. He is calling you to obey. He says it here in verse 9 that Jesus, having been perfected through his sufferings, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. The call to you to obey God is to obey by faith, trusting in this great high priest and no one else. To the Hebrew Christians who are falling away, to the Hebrew Christians who are possibly and probably being challenged and persecuted by their Jewish brethren who were not Christians, how can you trust in Jesus? You have Aaron as your high priest. You have his sons as your high priests. They were being called away. And God is telling you, not only did I call Aaron, but I called Jesus Christ, who is after the order of Melchizedek, a priest forever and my son. And he is the one. He is the only source of salvation. And the call to those Hebrew Christians was to hold on to Jesus. And the call to you today is to trust in Christ alone as your only source of salvation. The call to you today is to call upon Christ. You will receive many calls. You already do. There are many calls upon your life. Some of these calls come from the world. Some of these calls come from the devil himself. Some of these calls come from our own sinful hearts, to go and follow away or a person or even ourselves, someone that we may elevate above our great high priest Jesus. And God says, no. Jesus is the one that I have called to be your source for salvation. Hold on to him. Yes, God called Aaron. Legitimate call for a time and place. He also called Christ, who is our priest forever. And he also calls you to hold on to Christ. You know, in the church, and since we have a lot of young people with us this morning, it is good to know that there is a danger for you. In the church, in the evangelical church, in the broader Reformed church, and in the Reformed Presbyterian Church of North America, there is story after story of young people who are raised in the teaching of God's Word, who maybe even at one time made a profession of faith in Christ. But upon leaving the home or some point in their life, they heard a call from the world and said, come to me. I will give you peace. I will give you rest. The stories are many, and maybe you know some of them. And so the warning is here from the book of Hebrews. Don't listen to that call. Listen to the call of God upon your life to to call upon Christ and obey Him. Warning. Don't turn back to anyone or anything else. Hold fast to the confession of faith that Christ has been called by God and you have been called to call upon Him and to hold on to Him. May God help you do it. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we do ask now, Lord, that you would go beyond the words of this preacher and use your Holy Spirit, Lord, to help each and every one of us to hold on to Christ. Lord, encourage us with this truth that He is our priest forever and that nothing can separate us from Him and that we have a forever acceptance from You and a forever love, a forever forgiveness because of the forever priestly work of Jesus Christ, Lord. Cause us by Your Spirit to cling and to seize and to hold on to Jesus.